If I forget to tell you, Happy New Year. What do you say about the one that's going out? Do you say, sorry it's gone, or glad, or what? What? Okay, well, it's good to see y'all out today. This will be the last time we're together for this year, right? We're going to look at that concept, what we did wrong last year, and what we want to hope to do better on this year. From that perspective of, do you think you've been successful in this past year in regard to, I guess, whatever your focus is? If you're a ball player, or if you're a banker, or if you are whatever you are, a farmer, do you feel like you've been successful? And that will be determined by what your focus is. You know, if you ask me, do I think I've been successful, I might say, what are you talking about? You know, clarify that for me. So what is that? Usually success means when someone thinks that, you know, they've done something really, really well. And we're going to look at the life of Moses, and we're going to see how evaluation from him, we'd probably say absolutely. You know, he was successful, and he was. And we're going to look at the same areas that we have to deal with in our life. Lana Turner said that a successful man is a man who can make more money than his wife can spend. And a successful woman is a woman who can marry that kind of man. I guess if money is your focus, that's right. I don't know. It's according to what you consider to be successful. But that's what we want to look at. Trusting God in the new year. From the perspective of, if we sat down and we wrote down everything that we did last year, and we try to critique it and say, I was successful in this or I wasn't. I was successful in this or I wasn't. And you analyze that whole thing, what would be the outcome? Would you think you had been quite successful or not? And that's what we want to look at and try to learn from this year. So next year, hopefully, where it counts, we will have made some progress. Moses is the life we're going to look at as a guideline for us because just about anyone that you talk to, if you ask them if they know anything about the life of Moses, they would say, yes, he was very, very successful. And we're going to look at those lessons because we can learn absolutely things from him. One thing, he shows us that the things that in this life that we consider are successful really depends on our trust in God or not, if we're a child of God, or if we're concerned at all about what God wants to do in our life. And we're going to look at about four things that he had to deal with that all of us had to deal with. Looking at last year, going into the next year, some things that will absolutely going to be there. How do we deal with them? We can overcome memories of last year's failures. Man, as you start to look at 2018, if you're honest and you look and you say, boy, I flopped on that one. So what am I going to do? How am I going to overcome that one? You know, and if we're honest, is there anyone here who did not flop at something last year? Or were you successful in everything? If you say, yeah, we're going to ask someone in your family. Because I guarantee you, they're going to disagree with you, eh? Is that right? Right. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation and said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? The context, you remember, Moses had been used by God. The ten plagues came. They were released out of Egypt. They're going to the promised land. On their way, they get up to the promised land. It's across the Jordan. It was a significant point in the promised land. The land that God was giving them was across the Jordan. So they get up there. Remember in Joshua, in the books around Joshua, where we see these details where it says, you know, remember the spies, they sent them into the land and they come back. And all the spies and all the people said, no, we can't do that. Only Joshua and Caleb and Moses were willing to go across. So they didn't go, all right? And what happened was God punished them. If you remember the story, if you go back and read it. So now God says, okay, everyone in this group, of a couple million people that are 20 years and older, you will die here. You will never get to go over to the promised land. I'm sorry, we've had a lot of technical problems this morning. If that keeps on, I'll turn it off again. So what happened was they wandered around in a big circle in the wilderness for 40 years till that generation died out. 40 years later, they're back at the same place they were. Can you imagine what it was if you were Moses, the leader? And even though it wasn't his choice, he was responsible. You know, just like you, you tried something last year and it was a flop and it's important and you're going to try it again this year. What are you going to do? You have to overcome the fact that last time you failed. And it's a big thing to do, to overcome the fact that you failed and, you know, what are you going to do about it? Overcoming that. And that's exactly what it was. He had led them back. You know, you're talking about a illustration. You're standing right there looking at the place, and the leader, Moses, he says, man, I've been here before, and I got to get past this, because a lot of times defeat conquers people. In 1922, Harry Truman was 38 years old, was in debt, and didn't have a job. You know what happened 23 years later? He was president of the United States, most powerful man in the free world. What is that? That's a lot of overcoming failure. You know, you look at the lives of people. How many times did they keep at it? They keep at it. How many publishers you ever read about? Max Lucado? How many times was he turned down before he ever had a book published? 12 different times? How about the lady that wrote all the Harry Potter stuff? You know anything about her story? How many times they turned her down before somebody published her? They overcome it. And I guarantee you, if you're alive, you failed at something that you should have, that you're going to need to deal with this year, so you're going to be right back there with it again. How are you going to deal with it? Moses, he overcame, so he was successful in that. They were at a landmark of lost life and wasted. It was a monumental time, and they had to do something about it. To go forward in any kind of way, regardless of what your failure was in, if it's in a relationship, if it's in a job, or whatever it's in, in order to go forward, you got to overcome those memories, because once you start to overcome it, or to try to deal with it again, everything's going to come back and say, man, I just failed at this. What am I doing? You got to overcome that. It has to be. All of us. No one's exempt. Today we call it midlife crisis. you start to look around, you get in your 50s, and you start to look around, man, I thought I was going to be over there when I was this age, and I'm way back over there. And, you know, that's why these guys, you know, they go out and they get a new girlfriend or they get a new sports car. Why? They're not really dealing with reality. It's what that deal is. We just call it midlife crisis. But it's overcoming failure is what it is. Because most of us would say, man, I really wanted to be here when I got this age, and it just hasn't happened. So we let the failure overtake us, and we don't go forward like we should. That's the same thing, no different. Where we look back and reminded what we didn't do, we have regrets, and you have to overcome it. And Moses did. You know what that means? If Moses can overcome it, and he's just like us, we can overcome it. So when you sit down and you start looking at things for the next year, and you say, man, I flopped here and I flopped here, you know, don't go under that failure. You can get above that, and you can go beyond it, just like he did with God's help. You look at the whole story, and that's exactly what happened. Number two, he overcame adversity. If you're alive in this world, are you going to have any of that? Someone's not going to like you. You're going to get fired. You're going to lose a loved one. Something's going to happen that's in adversity. Is anything where you're challenged, anything that hurts. And what for? You have made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place. And what? It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water. Remember, I don't know if any of you have ever been over there, if you've seen pictures on television, there's a lot of places over there in Israel where there's nothing but sand and rocks. I mean, in rocks and sand. And in a place where they don't even get 4 inches of rain in a year, and you're out there wandering around in the desert, it's easy for the circumstances around you to overtake you. And that's exactly what, in several times, not only with the water, but with the food, they go to Moses and they're demanding something from him as the leader. First it was water, later it was meat, if you remember the situation. It often comes by way of our surrounding circumstances. It could be a relationship, it could be a job, It can be the government. It can be anything that's out there that's coming up on us and challenging us or hurting us that we have to deal with. For him, it was mainly the elements. It was they didn't have anything to drink. And they were not wanting to, they didn't want to leave to start with trusting God in that situation. Now, all of us have to deal with adversity. I shared earlier, and someone in the second service said that they actually saw it, and I was shocked. How many in here were born after 1970? Do you know what that means? If your birthday says 1970, then another number, that means you, okay? Hello? Y'all got that, right? It's amazing when you start talking numbers, how people say, well, what are you talking about? So raise it again, after 1970. Wow. In relation to how many people are in here, this is just as big of young crowd as the second service was. I was shocked. It means the rest of us are pretty old. Isn't that what that means? If you were alive and a sports fan in 1970, you might have actually seen this if you were old enough. There was a football game, quite an important football game, between New Orleans Saints and the Detroit Lions. And in the last couple seconds of the game, the Saints were going to try to kick a field goal to win it. And it would take a 63-yard field goal to win. It never been done before. So when you're about to undertake that, who do you want? Someone who's about 6'4", has legs about 10 foot long, who can kick a long ways, right? Y'all know the story? One of the guys said, I saw it. I was watching it on television. They brought out a guy, Dempsey, who had no toes on his right foot, no fingers on his right hand, and half a foot on his left foot, which was his kicking foot. And he kicked it 63 yards. Set a professional record and a world record. No one's done that since like that, right? What do you call that? Most of us, honestly, we would say, I'll never be able to play sports because look at all these handicaps. So we always let the adversities hold us back and do not overcome them. In this situation, just like with us, what happens? When we have an adversity, we go to God, just like Moses did. Every time he went to God and he says, you know, what are we supposed to do? And God told him what to do. What did he tell him to do? Remember, he says, what? Go to the rock there at Meribah, speak to the rock, and I will send out water, and there will be water to drink. You know, the rest of the story, we'll come to it in the end. He listened halfway. He only did half of what God said. God told him to speak to the rock. What did he do? He hit it with his rod. And God says in the last part of this thing today, no. You did not trust me. You took it upon yourself. So what happens is whenever we get into these situations where the circumstances around us, emotions overtake us, these things happen, we start to manipulate the system and we say, no, you don't know how to deal with this, God, so I'm going to do it. So therefore, what are we doing? We're not trusting him. Therefore, we fail. But he went to God and he did what he was supposed to and he overcame the circumstances. And the adversity was they had water. Look at this one. We can overcome our emotions. Boy, that's $1 million word today, ain't it? Everybody gets so emotional. I have to tell you this story. I can't tell you where it happened. It was in a public, big place. And, I don't like to hear other people's conversations. I have to hear too many of them. You walk in a store and they're talking about 100 decimals above what should be on their cell phone because they think someone can't hear them. And I don't want to hear them. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm walking down this aisle, and they're talking loud, and this guy's about at least 6'2" or 6'3", big guy, and he's talking to this, and they both work at this place, okay, because they have on the work garb for that place. And she's a little short thing, and she's kind of smiling because when he said what he did, I just kind of turned around, even though I kept walking. Because he said, you have harassed me with what you said to me. And so I kind of slowed down. I said, what's going on him? Because she's kind of smiling. And, this guy weighs 300 pounds. And if she weighs 100, it's all. And he's going to say, she's harassing him? Hello? Oh, it's an emotional harassment. That's what we're talking about. Everything now is someone says something I don't like, so I get to go sit in the highway. Why? Because emotionally, I can't take it. I mean, that's what this whole world is about right now, isn't it? Emotion. And it's like no one says, well, I hate it, man, and it bothers me, but I'm going to have to go on. Where sometimes they just need somebody to kick them and say, you need to go on. You know, you don't need to sit around and say, well, yeah, I am stressed out about it, but what would you go on? Just sit down and quit? Right? I mean, that's what the world's doing right now, right? That's why we can't say anything that somebody disagrees with. That's why. Because I'm emotionally stressed. Why? Because I told you the truth? There came the children of Israel even to the whole congregation in the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there. What is that? Do you think that would be emotional for Moses? She saved his life. Remember, go back to Exodus. What happens? They put him in there because they already have the command from the Egyptians to kill every male child. So when that baby got to the place where they couldn't conceal him anymore, they put him in the little pitch tent and floated him down the Nile. And they were watching out. So when Pharaoh's daughter at the right time saw it and said, here's a Hebrew child. And Miriam jumps up because she's watching the deal. You know, God in his providence, she just didn't happen to be there by chance, okay? Said, you want me to go find one of these Hebrew ladies to raise him for you? Because they all nursed him then. Where did she go? She went and got her mama. And she saved his life. Now, what would that be like? You're coming there. It's the same thing. If anyone in here has ever lost a loved one, that's something you just have to deal with. Is it emotional? Yeah. Can you just shut down and quit living because of it? No. The rest of the world thinks it's okay and thinks we're supposed to feel sorry for everybody that has an emotional difficulty. That's just part of life. And he has to face that, and with God's help, what does he do? He keeps going. She saved his life. Everything. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm trying to figure this thing out. I even went on the internet and tried to search it out because they talk about all these things where, you know, I've got an emotional support animal. I don't get that. I understand service dogs. That's a different world, I think. So I went on there and tried to figure out, what does that mean? And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to paraphrase it. And if I misunderstand it, you tell me. It pretty much says the doctor has got to classify somebody as about half crazy to have an emotional support dog. Because it said a doctor, and this heading even said psychiatry, where what happens is this. When people are to the point where they can't handle things, we got to have something outside of us. And here's the problem with that. Instead of going to God or somebody else, you know, I understand service dogs, but how is the, you see what I mean? We'll start to lean on things that can't fix it. There's nothing wrong with the dogs. I've got dogs, like dogs. I don't depend on them for my emotional support because God didn't make us that way. You know, I'm just being honest with you. But you see what happens? If we're not careful, all of us will try to get emotional support from something that will not sustain us, and sometimes it only makes us worse. Does that make any sense? And especially when they're going to give them a little fake dog because they need some emotional support in the college room because they can't handle the truth that somebody else sent. That's a whole other world too, isn't it? Hello? What is it? It's tough. Yeah, stand over one of the graves of your own child and say, man, this is tough. Yes, it is. So what do? Just lay down and quit? No. Moses didn't do it. He kept going. She'd been the one that saved his life. Life is tough. And whenever we don't understand, when we overlook the fact that God is the only one that can help us in some of these deals, and we try to suffice that by some other means, we'll never get any better. He got better. He overcame the emotional stress. Boy, we have it, don't we? I mean, everything. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get someone? What I just shared. So we overcame that. He overcame adversity. He overcame emotions. And he overcame criticism. Boy, that is real easy to be criticized. Remember, now Moses was the leader. And every time he was leading the people, he's totally outside of everything they've ever known. All their comforts are gone. Even though they were in bondage, the Egyptians were taking care of them, so they didn't have to look out for themselves. So now they're outside of all of that, and they're doing things that they don't really like and don't feel good about. So who do? They criticize their leader. Even though he was right in doing what God told him to do, that's what was going on. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Here's what I've learned in 25 years. When people get mad with God, they get mad with someone who's pretty clear representation of God. Doesn't have to be a preacher. It can just be a fellow Christian. But they'll fall out with them when they fall out with God. And guess whose fault that is? It's not Moses' fault. And, you know, two times with the water, and the next time, you remember, it says they were all at the tent with a fish eye stare at Moses and said, "We won't meet." They were not vegetarians, were they? Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that situation? "We want meat. We remember all that stuff. We want some meat to eat." And what did God do? What he often does. He'll say, "You want that? I'll give you some of that. You say you think you need that, I'll let you have all that you want." And he flew it in air freight. Remember? About 3 foot off the ground for a whole month till it came out their nostrils. What does that mean? It made them sick. After a while, I wonder, did any of them ever eat quail again? You ever been sick on something and you just quit eating it? You say, "Man, I had enough of that." Even though that might not be the thing that made you sick, right? So they were all griping and complaining. So he has to overcome, you know, criticism. I remember Bailey Smith said one time he had a man in his church. Sometimes he just wanted to stand up and say, "Brother Jones, why don't you stand up and lead us in a word of criticism?" That was his spiritual gift. Because it didn't really matter what goes on. He was going to criticize. And usually, whatever you're doing, whether it might be right or wrong, someone's probably going to criticize you. A politician was giving a speech. He was trying to get elected, and he was giving this speech. And afterwards, he asked, anybody have any questions? And a man stood in the back and said, "Who else is running?" "Is anybody else running? Man, we don't have any hope." That's exactly what it is. You know, we're going to be criticized, especially if you're trying to do the right thing. As long as you go around with the rest of the world and do whatever all your peer people do around you, you're not going to have any trouble. But once you take a stand, because the whole world, as a general rule, is against God and what God wants. It's always been that way. So anytime you're living in a different lane than that, you will be criticized, and they'll try to make fun of you and criticize you, so you'll back down so they won't feel as bad. That's how that works. Always worked that way. Always is. Matter of fact, this person who saw that, you know the rest of the story. A lot of people tried to say because of his foot was that way, he had an advantage over everybody else. Go back and look in the history books. Has anyone ever done that since? Oh, no. We're just going to criticize him. No one's ever been able to do it since. And he's the only one, but we're just going to criticize him because he did it. That's the way that works. Criticism. If you haven't been criticized, I don't know, you must not be paying attention, because someone's going to criticize you if you do anything, and you can overcome it. They said, "There's no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loathe this hate bread." So they criticized him, and they'd criticized him, and they criticized him. Go back and read the whole story, and you'll see it was constant. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever been around someone where if you had to face them every day and all they did was criticize you, it takes a lot to keep going. And look at the positive when every time you see them every day, all they do is criticize. But you can do it. Bailey Smith also told a story one time. He says a lady came up to him and says, "You know," they were going to the same church, and she said, "You know, my mother doesn't like you." And he said, "Well, I try to be nice." And I said, "Well, what's wrong with your idiot mother?" And he said, "No, I didn't really say that." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "She's always here. She's here. Everything is going on. What do you mean she doesn't like?" She said, "Yeah, I know. She's always at church because she's always looking for something to criticize. That's all she's about." Some people are like that. And you have to deal with it and not let it get you down. From the time they left Egypt to the time from bondage, they were always, just go back and read it, constant. He had to overcome criticism. That's tough. It is. Here's the question. Is success really simply overcoming all those obstacles, you know, adversity, emotions, criticism? When you overcome those things, can you just honestly say, "Oh, yeah, man, I've been successful because I've been able to do that"? Is that really all there is to it? If you're operating on a total worldly perspective, that's it. But if God's in the picture, that's not it. And Moses shows us clearly. He says what? True success only comes when we not only pursue what God wants, but we do what God tells us. Did Moses pursue it? Yes, he did. It says what? He sought him. He sought God. He turned to God for an answer with the water, with everything, with the meat. He went to God every time. He asked him. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly, which was the people when they're congregated together, unto the door of the tabernacle where God came down. He went to God and he said, God, what are we going to do? And God told him what to do. And in most of the cases, he did that. And he was successful, but he didn't always do it. Look what happens. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And God met them and said, this is what I want you to do. He told him. He says, what I want you to do, Moses, is I want you to go to Meribah, to take the rock there where it is, speak to it, and water will come out. Success is not just overcoming these things. It is what? It is acting on what God said. You know, it's kind of funny. If we're honest with ourselves, how much of what we already know to do are we doing? If we even did a quarter of what we know God wants us to do in our lives, boy, where would we be? A quarter. So he went to God and God showed him it's obeying God. It's not just knowing a bunch of stuff. It's what you do. That's exactly what Ephesians says. You know that, right? It says, for what? It says, being able to use the knowledge you have, knowing stuff. Wisdom is being able to look at that knowledge and use it correctly. It means acting on it. It means do something with it. Not just know a bunch of stuff. Many would look at Moses and say, man, you look at these things that he overcame and 2.5 million people that he's guiding and he goes through all this. Man, he was a success, absolutely. But he failed at a crucial time. Why? With his attitude. What do you mean? He didn't do what God said. He went to God and he listened to God, but he didn't do. Just like us. We read the Bible, we do these things to know what God says to do, but how often do we do it? So therefore, it really doesn't matter as much if you know anything, if you're never going to do it. If I'm never going to do it, right? He didn't really trust God, and we're guilty of the same thing. Here's the curse. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not. What does that mean? God, I don't trust you. I know you told me. I know your word's true when it says you don't need to be in this relationship. You don't need to do this way. You know, I know what you told me, but I just don't trust you. That's what that means. Because you didn't believe me to sanctify me. Because here's the way that works. Sanctify means set apart. When you and I know what God's word says and we flesh it out, we do it, then God is separated and people see this is serious. You know, when we operate that way, then God is set apart as different and people see it. That's all that means. To sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. The people of Israel would have gained so much more had Moses been trusting in God at this point. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation. He didn't get to go across the Jordan. Remember, it tells us he was up on Mount Nebo, and God let him go up there to see the promised land, but he didn't get to go across. That's not a salvation issue. But what was Moses' whole purpose in life? To take people across the Jordan. That was it. All these other little things that led up to that, oh, he did great in those, but when he came down to that one, you mean to tell me God kept him out just because he hit the rock instead of speaking to it? That's exactly what he did. Why? Because he didn't do what God says. You know, one little part of disobedience is total disobedience. You know, you can't just say, well, it's okay to do this little lie. Why? It's not any different, right? Therefore, you shall not bring the congregation to the land which I've given them. This was the only time that he failed in all that 40 years of wandering. You say, well, that's just not fair for God to do that when that just one time he slipped up. Why? It was a major thing. Why? Because what it did to the whole nation of Israel when he did what he did. It took away from God. God takes the sin, especially with leadership, seriously. You know, but we try to justify it all and say, well, God understands if no, he doesn't. He says, that is wrong. If you don't do what I tell you, then that is wrong. And the consequences will come with that. If we measured our success by our obedience, going back to what I said in the beginning, if you sat down sometime before the new year came in tonight and you looked at everything that you could remember,
where you knew that God said for you to do this, 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 and this, and you went down and you checked, I did it, I didn't, I did it, I didn't. How would you be classified? As obedient or successful or not successful? Not the fact that you just knew it, but did you do it? That's it. Oswald Chambers, in his daily devotionals this past week, I forgot what day it was, but he was talking about, he's an old timer, you know, back in the 1800s, in early 1900s, a Bible teacher and preacher and a lot of insight. He said he was talking about the issue of the will, which means our desire, which means our choices. He said you have to get alone with just you and God and meet that out, beat that out, and settle that. Will I do what God says? I do that first with Him all alone, and then I can go out there and try to deal with the externals. Okay, God, I'm going to do what you say, so you said don't be in that relationship, so I'm not going to be in that relationship. I settle that here with you first, and then I can deal with it over there. If I just skip doing it with God first and go over here and do it, I never do it. So next year in 2018, when the years come and I look at, was I doing what God said, I'll still come up with a bunch of zeros. Unless I get alone with my will, with my desire, and settle it, God, I'm going to do what you said. It doesn't really matter if I understand it. It doesn't really matter if I can figure it out on paper where that's going to work. If I understand clearly, this is what you say, I'm going to do it. That's what that means. That's the only way that true success will happen. How will we function in that new year? How will we do as an individual in 2018? Will we just continue sinning, just saying, well, you just don't know the situation, and if God understands my situations, He's not going to demand that from me. Isn't that what we do? Oh, that's right. The Scripture says that. All right. Oh, yeah, you have to do this unless this happens to you. How many times does He ever do that? No. He says, you be obedient. It doesn't matter if you lose your whole family or you lose your job or you lose your house. He doesn't qualify it. He just says, no, you be obedient. And we just try to justify it. Well, God understands. He didn't understand with Moses, so why do you think He's going to understand with us? Why? The consequences came. Will we overcome adversity, seek God and see God, and still fail because we're going to do what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do? Will we decide and nail it down in 2018? I will seek to find out what God wants me to do, and I'll do it. It doesn't really matter what the cost is. That's what that sitting down with God and figuring that out first. That way, whenever the pressure starts coming on from people in school or people at work or people all over, when they start pressuring you, you said, oh, no, I've already made a decision. It doesn't really matter what you do. I'm going to do this. That's the only way that works. If we will, then with God, we'll be successful. Might not be with the world. Might lose your job. Might lose someone you love. Everything might be turned upside down. But with God's perspective, and guess who you want to be? You want to have success with the world or God? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to understand how real people, just like Moses, who is just like us, deals with difficulty, how we can be obedient in some areas and still fail, even with small things, because total obedience is of importance. Just remind us that you love us. And the first thing is your desire is for us to be obedient and trust you to take care of the rest of it. Thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen.